Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The Super Bowl went real late, Tony. You must be so tired today.
Tony Kornheiser, wait. The game was last night?
See, in most of your years, that would be a reflective, accurately reflective statement. But not now, because I know you soldiered through.
I watched every single play. Now, as soon as the touchdown happened in OT, I didn't go to the podium. I went to bed, but I watched every play. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, rowdy golf fans in Phoenix, an ugly hit in the NHL, and a bad loss to Caitlin Clark in Iowa. But we begin today with one of the closest, one of the tensest, one of the most enjoyable Super Bowls ever. Kansas City came from behind in overtime to beat San Francisco 25-22. Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs on a 75-yard touchdown drive to win it. Wilbon, what did you make of how the Chiefs won?
Tony, I'm going to start with Chris Jones. I'm not going to start with Patrick Mahomes. We can always start with Patrick Mahomes for the last 3 years and maybe the next 10. But I'm going to start with Chris Jones because there are a couple of plays that at a time in which defense has essentially been legislated out of pro football the way I like it and the way I've known it, Chris Jones disrupted Mr. Purdy and just prevented him from waiting on receivers to clear, prevented him from being able to be in a position to step into a throw, which he'd done otherwise. Chris Jones. I mean, those defenses, and then defenses. That's my impression, Tony. People can talk, and we'll get to this, about what, you know, the 49ers coaching staff and Shanahan didn't do and what the defense. The Kansas City Chiefs needed a muffed punt to score a touchdown in regulation, which all the great smart pundits seem to miss as I was listening today. They couldn't score without a muffed punt, could not score a touchdown.
That's right.
Went 16 or 17 possessions going back last week without scoring a touchdown. The great Kansas City offense. So the San Francisco defense deserves credit. Mr. Coach Wilkes and his unit and Chris Jones, the disruptive Chris Jones. They're going to have a touchdown, Tony, in overtime on third down and change the complexion of that game. The 49ers are, if Chris Jones doesn't disrupt Purdy, Chris Jones, that's my impression.
So I find myself probably agreeing with you overall. The way the Chiefs won against San Francisco was the same way they won at Buffalo and at Baltimore. They played really great defense. They didn't score a lot. They scored what they needed to score because when they needed to score, they hand the ball to the greatest player on the planet. And that is the formula. That's how it works. I was struck by a couple of things during the game, Mike. One was defense on both sides. So I think that Steve Wilkes and Steve Spagnuolo earned their money. And two was a lack of many, if even any, pass interference calls. And I'm not talking about holding at the line now. I'm talking about where the pass is going to be caught. The officials let both teams play. And I enjoyed that. And I felt at halftime, Mike, because I was rooting for San Francisco, though I thought Kansas City would win. I felt at halftime San Francisco had not scored enough points. I felt they had to be up like 17-3 and that it would come back to bite them, which it did. Clearly, the most critical play of the game is the blocked PAT. And because it changed the number from 4-3. It changes the number from 4-3, which means you can tie the game with a field goal instead of having to get a touchdown in order to win the game. And that came back to bite them as well. But my other feeling was, Mike, and you mentioned the muff punt, I believe that San Francisco's mistakes were more impactful than Kansas City's mistakes.
Yes.
Right? Didn't you feel that way?
Yeah, Tony, two special teams plays lost the Super Bowl for the 49ers. And the muff punt, it's the muff punt 7 points. Because the Chiefs couldn't score.
Yep.
They couldn't score a touchdown before that without the aid of that miscue. So, man, but Tony, it's one of the great Super Bowls ever. Can we agree on that? The greatest? It's in a discussion, right?
I don't think it's the greatest. I can list three or four others that I thought were greater, but it was a great game. It started out not as a great game and ended up fabulous.
Ended up great, 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 great. It had the great halftime.
Yep.
I'm taking Usher. I'm putting him up there with Prince and Bruno Mars and Beyonce. Everybody was great. Everything was great from soup to nuts to me. Let's move to the bigger picture.
Really, better than Up With People in the 70s, Mike? Better than that, honestly? Up With People? You don't remember?
Oh, I don't. Thank God I don't remember. I'm going to hate you for reminding me.
It was terrible.
Big picture. Oh, my God, you scared me with that reference. The Chiefs have now played in four of the past five Super Bowls and won three of them. Historically, Tone, what does and will this do for Mahomes, Reed, and the Chiefs franchise?
So I'm not going to sit here and say anything brilliant that you haven't heard before. It officially makes Kansas City a dynasty because the amount of wins in the amount of years. In the Super Bowl era, we've got the Steelers, we've got the 49ers, we've got the Cowboys, we got the Patriots, and now we got the Chiefs, and that's it. That's the list. What it does for Mahomes is it confirms what we thought, that he is a great, great, great talent on the football field. 15-3, I believe, is his record in playoff games. He's now got these Super Bowls. I mean, my sense of Mahomes, and it goes back, Mike, it goes back to when he was a rookie, going into his second year, when Andy Reid understood, I got a real good quarterback in Alex Smith, and I'm going to let him go because I want to hand the ball to this kid. And that is not much different than Bill Belichick saying of Drew Bledsoe, I got to let him go because I'm going to hand the ball to this kid. Because part of great coaching is recognizing great talent as it's about to emerge. Now is Mahomes Brady? No, Brady has seven. No, stop. But Mahomes is 28 years old. If he gets another before he's 30, then you can say he can chase Brady. But he's not Brady now. No.
No. By the way, let me go back a little. Let me backpedal a little bit. You're going to get yourself in trouble locally. Because the Washington franchise, how? Then known as the Redskins, won three Super right. Bowls in
they won
five
three
years.
With different quarterbacks.
Come on now. Huh?
No, okay, no, it was 10. No, it was like, it was 9 or 10.
No,
no Mike, it was 9
it
or 10
82,
that they won.
It was 82, 83, and they lost that one, 87, 91. Okay, you're right. You're right. More like
92. 91,
right,
92. That's why.
That's a lot of Super Bowls. That's a lot of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So anyway, and you live there, they're going to run you out of town. Now, Tony, people
I
dine out on one Super Bowl victory. One. They make careers in broadcasting and commercial making. You can dine out on one for forever. Oh, my God, three. What three will do, three yep. and perhaps counting. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we talk about Mahomes being 28. Andy Reid might not be there for 10 more years, but he might be there for a couple of more Super Bowls. He could be. So, wow.
Mike,
I mean, it
Mike,
sets them
on.
Up.
Mike, Andy Reid's got to stand next to Patrick Mahomes for 6 to 8 more years because he can maybe catch Belichick if Mahomes does that.
Ooh.
You just call Jake from State Farm and say, I'm going to be here for a while. Get these commercials rolling.
You got him catching Belichick? You got him catching Belichick? Really?
He's a great coach with a great
yes.
quarterback. That's the formula.
Yes.
That's the
it
formula.
Is.
Except for Gibbs. We turn now to the 49ers, who have lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years, and for the second time have blown a 10-point lead. When Kyle Shanahan was offensive coordinator in Atlanta, the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead in a notorious Super Bowl loss to New England. Wilbon, where does this loss leave Shanahan and the 49ers?
I'm sure frustrated as hell and angry and disappointed, and I'll take Kyle Shanahan over every other coach in the league, all of them, except maybe Andy Reid. All of them, right now. Kyle Shanahan, come on in. What do we have to pay you, and who do we have to get rid of? Now, people are – I told you this morning on your podcast, I didn't even want to turn television on because I know the overreaction to everything, the overstatement of everything was going to just make me angry. And this whole overtime flap is making me angry because Kyle Shanahan went and explained what he was talking about. If you go these two possessions, the third possession, if each team scores evenly in the first two possessions, the third possession is your winner. And that logic is fine to me. It's a bad PR move. That's what happens. It's bad PR because then the 49ers players are on the record of saying, we didn't study this stuff all week. That didn't cost them the game. Chris Jones cost him the game because Purdy couldn't step into a throw to make it a touchdown. And even then, Kansas City, which couldn't score, had to score a touchdown to win the game. And they did.
That's right.
The 49ers are great, Tony. They played evenly with a three-time Super Bowl winner in overtime. I don't want to hear any bashing of Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. I don't want to hear it.
What bothers me particularly about this show is that I am supposed to come back now and probably debate you, and I'm not going to do it. A lot of people are throwing stuff at Kyle Shanahan, and I'm not, like you, going to be one of those people. Kyle Shanahan, he didn't kick the extra point that got blocked. He didn't rough the punt. He didn't do that. He's been to a few Super Bowls. Here's who he's lost to when he's been in a position in a Super Bowl as a coordinator or a head coach. He's lost to Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. In tennis, those would be called good losses. I'm pretty sure those guys are the only guys in the last 25 years to go back-to-back with Super Bowls. And I agree with you as well. I would have taken the ball in the overtime. I look at the 49ers. To me, they are definitively the best team in the NFC. They got a real good young core. I think Brock Purdy showed you can win with Brock Purdy. I mean,
he should get better.
I won't blame Shanahan. Do people say that Marv Levy's a bad coach because he lost four Super Bowls? No, they don't.
Stop.
I'll take Kyle Shanahan, and so will you. Let's take a break.
God.
Coming up, what should the NHL do about Morgan Riley's hit on Ridly Gregg?
And the fans at the Phoenix Open, right here behind me, become a little too rowdy. Tony, the best thing about the end of football season is the end of the overstatement, the end of exaggeration, the end of proclamation and declaration every Monday.
There's nothing good about the end of football season.
Enough.
No, there's nothing good about it.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to find out what's sticking in the thongs or the throngs in mail time. That's a good phrase.
Mail time? You want to have the word thongs in the show, really?
Was Morgan Riley's response to Ridly Gregg's goal appropriate?
No. No, Riley's response is not appropriate. Look, I understand this is a showboat move. To wind up and slap it like that from 5 feet away. I get that. It's a total showboat move. Look at this. You know, I don't know in all my years that I've ever seen that happen. But, no, you can't cross-check somebody in the head. In the head, straight up. That calls for a massive suspension. I'm not sure if the NHL, commissioner's office has the stones to do that. But, no, it's inexcusable. Inexcusable.
So when I first saw this, I didn't understand it. It looked crazy to me. Then it was explained to me that on an empty netter, you don't take a slap shot.
No,
that
you just let you slide it in.
That cause for retaliation. So under that context, and even if you want retaliation, this is over the edge. He puts
head
a stick in the guy's head. You risk terrible injury there. What it reminded me of was Dale Hunter and Pierre Turgeon. Dale Hunter got 21 games for what he did to him. So I think this guy's got to get a lot of games, Mike. But I also want to tell you that I'll bet 95% of the NHL players think he did the right thing because you broke the code with this.
Tony, so you can cross-check him. He's got a whole body. You can cross-check him harder if you want, across the chest, across the forearms. Headhunting like that? Come on now. All these sports allege they care about safety and player safety. Well, let's see if they do. Last one.
Is the fan-friendly Phoenix Open becoming too fan-friendly?
Well, Tony, this weekend was a little interesting here in Phoenix / Scottsdale. It started with the weather and delays and had given people a lot of time to get some liquor in them. And that clearly happened. Yeah. And players had confrontations. They are screaming at fans during play, hey, not in the backswing, and not their own swing, sometimes a playing partner. Look, but this is the appeal. That's the appeal of the waste management, by whatever name. The Phoenix opened for all these decades in 16 with the stadium crowd. And players want all this money? They want all this money? Then maybe you got to engage. Now, maybe you're saying, I shouldn't excuse the behavior. I'm saying that's the appeal of this tournament. It always has been. And now players want all this money on the PGA Tour. Where are you going to get it from? Expanded purses, expanded stadiums, more engagement. Fellas, this may be the direction it's moving. It just may be.
Yeah. So that was one step below a toga party. The Waste Management Tournament has always advertised itself as a big party. They have, you know, let people in. They built almost 20,000 seats around number 16.
16,
when
baby.
There's a great shot, people throw beer cans. When there's a bad shot, people throw beer cans. I believe that that tournament has not just tolerated this behavior, but encouraged this behavior over the years.
Yes.
And it went over the line this time. People got drunk. They got drunk. They had to cut
off the beer
sales on Saturday. They had to stop people from coming into the tournament
on Saturday.
But the point you make, the point you make is a valid point. This may be the evolution of public golf. If you want big crowds, you may have to deal with this. It's sort of dicey. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, kids.
No, you can't,
even
Tony.
You may
and
want
by the
to.
Way,
let's
it's
take
very
one
successful.
Last break.
Very successful.
Still to come. Caitlin Clark and Iowa go down. It's very successful, but this was a mess. This one went over the line.
UCLA decides who will follow Chip Kelly as head football coach. Look, we got a little bit of time because there's one more party following the tournament. I'm invited. VIP. I got to get out of here. You got to let me go.
The LIV people encourage this behavior, too. They got the music.
So where's it going?
They got drinking.
Where's
they got everything.
Going? I'm just asking.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, Adama Sanogo. It's fair to ask the question if Sanogo made the right decision to leave UConn after last year's national championship with the year of eligibility left to him. The 6'9 Sanogo, most outstanding player of the Final Four. He had four double-doubles during the tournament, including three times over 20 points and 17 points and 10 rebounds in the title game. Sanogo left for the NBA, was undrafted, signed a two-way contract with the Bulls, and has played briefly in three games for Chicago. Mostly he's been in the G League, averaging 23-12 for the Windy City Bulls. UConn is number one in the country again. Would he have been better off staying, Mike?
Tony, maybe, but I thought we, the Bulls, were going to trade Andre Drummond, like Oklahoma City could use him, among others. And then Sanogo would have had playing time opened up for him. But the Bulls didn't trade Drummond, and they're trying to make the playoffs, and now Sanogo looks stuck, so eh. Maybe staying might have worked. I'm still happy we got him.
A not-so-happy anniversary, Three Rivers Stadium. On this day 23 years ago, the stadium that sat at the junction where the Allegheny and Monongahela, it's hard to say that, rivers meet to form the Ohio River, was imploded. Three Rivers was host to some of the greatest moments in baseball and football history. In the 1971 World Series, Three Rivers hosted the first World Series game ever played at night, and now they're all played at night. The following year, 1972, Three Rivers was where Roberto Clemente got his 3,000th and final hit, and where Franco Harris made the immaculate reception, the most famous play in pro football. Thankfully, it was never called Three Rivers Crypto or Three Rivers FedEx.
Tony, there was nothing distinguished about the outside of it. It wasn't like Forbes Field, which it replaced. But there were so many cookie cutters, starting with RFK, Riverfront, Bush, Fulton County, Jack Murphy, the vet. They were all the same. You couldn't tell one from the other except the city surroundings. But it was what inside happened that was special in Pittsburgh.
Happy trails to yesterday's game for number 2 Iowa. Caitlin Clark needed 39 points to set the record for most career points ever in NCAA women's basketball. She had 31 at the end of 3 quarters at Nebraska. Iowa had a 14-point lead. And then Clark did not score at all in the 4th quarter, and the Hawkeyes barely did. Nebraska went 27-10 in the 4th, won the game. Clark had 10 assists, giving her 1,005. She's the only D1 women's player ever with 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. But she went 0-for-6 from the floor in the 4th quarter. Only the second time in her career she's gone 0-for-6 in the 4th. Now Clark will get another shot at the record Thursday at home against Michigan.
Ah, at home. Tony, you know, I know Nebraska blitzed her. I watched that 4th quarter, much of it. They blitzed her. They did not want her to score. But on the other hand, I wonder how much interest there was in that with the home game coming up, as if I was not going to sell out no matter what to watch Caitlin Clark. I'm going to watch. I think you're going to watch, too.
So I watched the 4th quarter as well. And I got there with, like, less than a minute to go in the 3rd quarter, and it said she had 31. So I figured that was the 4th quarter. And then when I realized that she had 31 in the 3rd, I would have bet
gonna break
anything.
It. Yep.
Absolutely. I was going to say I saw her break it. They D'd her up pretty well. And
they did. They blitzed her.
They didn't adjust well to Nebraska at all. That was a failure.
How interested were they in breaking that on the road? I just wonder.
Maybe not at all. Maybe not at all. UCLA is hiring Deshaun Foster as its new head football coach. Is that a good choice?
Tony, I think so. UCLA Hall of Famer as a player, running backs coach, played 7 seasons in the NFL. He's a UCLA guy. Good for them. New Alabama OC Ryan Grubb left to take the same job with the Seahawks. Okay by you?
It's a little odd to me if you think of yourself as a college coach. You know, look what Sarkisian did. Look what Kiffin did in that job. But if you go to the NFL, maybe you have different aspirations. Maybe it's just different. Kyle Lowry reportedly joining the Sixers, Spencer Dinwiddie joining the Lakers. Which is the bigger deal?
Kyle's a Philly kid. He's always dripped of playing for the Sixers at some point. Good for him. I wonder what it means for campaign, though, in his days in Philly. He just got there in a trade. I don't know. A lot of point guards. Hornets president Mitch Kupchak is moving into an advisory role. What does that mean?
Probably means he's on his way out because Michael Jordan doesn't own the team anymore. You know, I've known Mitch Kupchak for 50 years. I covered him when I was at Newsday, when he was in high school. Last one. Will the Cavs win their 10th straight tonight?
Woo! They should. At home, against those Sixers. I don't know if Kyle Lowry will be suited up, but they should win tonight, Tony.
Played golf with Kupchak once. Had a really good time. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's sports.
Late at Bel Air, Wilbon. Bel Air.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.